Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, action, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
I am excited that you have chosen to invest your valuable time to spend with me and the guests that I bring you and the information that can transform your life, that can ignite those sparks, those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge to ignite a positive change in your life. First of all, I want to send positive energy to those who are suffering around the world, whether it's climate-related, war-related, or economic issues that are also spiraling right now in many places, as well as the pandemic. Being in that space of positive energy, positive information, I'm excited today to bring you a wonderful woman who is so passionate about the work that she's done, the information that she has learned that has helped her and her daughter, and she is excited to share it with others to help alleviate the suffering that goes with eczema. I'm going to let her introduce herself. Her name is Siri, and this is my first international interview done actually internationally. I've had one other interview with a colleague from London, and he was in the States at the time. So thank you to Siri for being with me from Norway. And thank you again for being here. Welcome, Siri.
Thank you very much, Melanie. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm so excited that you wanted to have me on. And I'm excited to share a little bit about my journey and what I have learned along the way. I'm very passionate about helping others struggling with eczema, and I have found that it was not easy to get help from the medical system when you have eczema. So I have basically walked my own path, some of it with my mom. I can tell you a little bit about my story and how I have suffered from eczema my whole life since I was a child. And we didn't know that much about what was causing it. And the doctors just said that I was allergic, so I have a lot of food allergies. And we did testing, and they could prescribe a steroid cream. And that was basically it. And they told my mom to keep me away from the foods that would make my eczema flare. The more I talk to other people, this is the standard procedure for people with eczema in the Western medical field. I suffered with eczema when I was young, and it was painful because it was mostly on my hands. So when I wanted to play, you know, as the children do in the mud and outside, and you want to dig and you want to play, my hands would hurt. And also when I was had to wash my hands, it would sting because I had wounds from the itching. So this was not very good. But we just kept on doing what we were told from the doctor to put the cream on and stay away from the foods that would make it worse. And it was kind of under control, I guess. But then when I got older, I had problems with my digestion. So in 2004, I started having issues with bloating and pain in my stomach. And I also started having acne, which was strange. So I had this for a couple of years. We tried to change so I didn't have wheat, but we tried to bake bread with rye, and we tried to do things differently. But it didn't help for the bloating. And then finally, in 2006, I went to a skin doctor with my acne, and he told me you need to do the gluten test. test to see if you're celiac. And I just freaked out because, first of all, I've done so many tests and I've had so many food intolerances already, and bread was basically the only thing I could eat. And I just went home and I was like, no, it can't be the gluten. What should I eat? I'm going to survive on water and air, basically, because there's nothing I can eat if I don't have the bread.
Oh, no.
And I started an elimination at home. So I thought to myself, I'm going to prove him wrong. It's not the wheat. And I started to read all the ingredients and everything I had, all the sauces and everything. And back then there wasn't that much gluten-free foods on the market because it wasn't that big of a deal yet. And I noticed within a week that my bloating was gone and my issues, stomach, like gut issues, were gone. And I had more energy and my skin was clearing up. It was like a miracle almost. And so I cried a little bit about not being able to eat more chocolate croissants and Cinnabon, you know, the Cinnabon rolls. They're so delicious.
Yes.
But then I thought, okay, if this is what I have to do for my body to feel better, of course, I'll do it, no doubt. I would trade all the foods to feel good again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting. And then I have had eczema a little bit off and on, and I've been on a journey to try to figure out. Sometimes it flares again, but as long as I stay off gluten, it's basically under control. And I still want to be able to heal it naturally. And I've been down a path with vitamins and minerals, magnesium, how to support my body the best way possible, because it seems that eczema is caused by various things. It can be a combination of both liver, it can be leaky gut, it can be histamine intolerance and food allergies, and there's all sorts of things going wrong in the end that is making our skin have to detox, basically. So the skin is doing some of the detoxing that the liver and the other organs is not doing optimally, is my view of what it is. Because it seems, for me at least, it always comes from the inside. I know because I see bubbles under my skin before I get the itching. So I can actually see that my body is trying to push stuff out through my skin.
Wow, that's a lot. And the fact that you have not only gluten allergy, but you also, if I remember correctly from our earlier conversation, are sensitive to dairy as well.
Yes, that's right. And that was, I had pain every night for 12 years when I was a child, and we didn't know what was causing it. So every night when I was going to sleep, I had a stomach ache. And we figured out by one acupuncturist, she told my mom to try to cut the dairy or the gluten or both. So she said those things are mostly what's triggering people's allergies and skin issues. And the dairy was a big one for me. And I was doing okay for a long time after I cut the dairy until I started drinking alcohol. So alcohol is also a big no for me. And I haven't been drinking since I was 20 because I saw that my skin would flare if I had like a weekend where I went to party or had some drinks. And doing research on it later, it's like not very strange why the body would react in a negative way with alcohol. Mm.
So for people who are suffering from eczema and are, you know, either the steroid creams aren't working or and they're still having issues, what are some things that you have discovered in your research that have been helpful?
So for me, personally, what has helped me the most is cutting the gluten. It's one of the biggest things that have been so good for my gut health. And it's been, it's been one of the biggest ones. I also came across something called the Root Cause Protocol, where they address adrenal fatigue. So for anyone that has eczema, I would recommend you to read about adrenal fatigue. I saw a lot of the symptoms match with what I was going through. And when I I can drink like adrenal cocktail, it's potassium and vitamin C and salt. And it supports your adrenals and it makes my flares go away. So together with the magnesium bath, and I recommend magnesium a lot for just to put on the skin if you have flares, because it can calm down the flares. Magnesium is one of the most important minerals for helping calm inflammation in the body. And most people nowadays get too little magnesium from diet, so we're all deficient. And it's best absorbed through the skin. And I know that some of the people that are suffering from severe eczema, they get worse when they take a bath. Water will make it worse. So if you are one of those people that cannot be like in water or cannot shower a lot or do, you know, like get water on the skin because it makes it worse, you could always try to use foot soap, because normally the feet will be a little bit more sturdy. Like you probably can get away with it instead of having your whole body in Epsom salt. But that has helped me a lot, and I need to start again. I feel like sometimes life happens and I'm not very good at prioritizing myself. But when I did two magnesium baths a week, it helps a lot for my skin as well. So I noticed a difference both from the adrenal cocktails and from the magnesium baths. So my recommendations are both diet, to try and figure out what foods are causing your flares. This is very important. Maybe try to make a food diary or food diary. My English. And supplement with the magnesium. Try to figure out if you have like a sluggish liver, maybe your liver needs some support. And also try to stress down, because emotional stress is a big factor as well. And so is bad sleep. So all these things are connected, and our bodies need both like balance in what we take in. We have foods, but also on the emotional side that we need to work with traumas, and we need to work with stressors.
Well, and from all of your years of experience and research and knowing the kinds of things that you can choose to do that will cause flares or choose to avoid so that you don't have those flares, as well as, I didn't realize magnesium was best absorbed through the skin. I take a magnesium supplement with a vitamin D because my vitamin D is low, especially in the winter, because I don't get outside as much. But that is really interesting, as well as it doesn't surprise me at all, Siri, to hear that you don't prioritize yourself as well, because the amazing women I know often face challenges with self-care as a priority because they are so busy taking care of everybody else. And then if there's time left over, then it's like, oh, what do I need to do for me? So I encourage you to, yes, continue to prioritize yourself. And we can talk more about that. That's why I created my Superwoman Sanctuary, to support amazing women who are taking care of everyone else so that they have time to drop the cape and take care of themselves. and to find support like that in your community, in a group with a coach, so that you can have those moments where you can cry, you can yell, you can laugh, celebrate, learn with each other, support each other, I've found has been very valuable for me as a superwoman who forgets too. And so it gives me that time to prioritize as I facilitate information and support for these amazing women. So speaking of support, one of the things that we had talked about to support people with eczema is your passion to help other people navigate this journey with eczema. So what are some ways that you do that?
So I have my Instagram account where I'm most active, where I make content around eczema and some of the struggles that we face. And I also have made a closed private group on Facebook for those with eczema, or if they have children with eczema, they want to help. So that's the place where we can share more personal stuff and talk with not like-minded people maybe, but the people going through the same, because it's so valuable to meet others that understand from experience what we are going through. And when I have had people reach out to me, they often say they have been alone with their eczema. All their friends have perfect skin, you know, all their family members have perfect skin. They are alone in their journey, and I have that same feeling. I have been alone in my family with eczema, and I have never seen any celebrities with eczema. I've never seen any models with eczema. I felt a little bit like a freak when I was growing up because there was no models for me to show that this is also a normal thing that other people have. And I think this is so important for younger people, but also for grown-ups to meet others that are going through the same things. And then that's so, it's a good place to share wins and struggles and find support in that group.
It is very hard when we feel like we're doing it alone and we don't know where to turn. And so it's such a great resource that you offer to people, because now they realize that I can share, we can collaborate, and together often we discover things that alone we never would, because we don't know where to look. And we get stuck in a negative cycle, a victim cycle or a blame cycle about having eczema or whatever situation we're in. And we don't know how to navigate it because we can't see beyond the trees in front of us. And so when we have somebody else who's gotten through the forest, so to speak, and is on the other side and can help by giving information, directions, like a compass, it's so much less stressful. It's still challenging, yes. And we have that feeling of belonging to a group, which especially growing up, like you said, can be so much harder when you feel so different than everyone else. So what are some of the successes that you've experienced in your life and your family? You've talked about some with understanding about diet, and you've gone into both medical research as well as looking at non-Western approaches to eczema. Can you talk a little bit more about that journey?
Yes. So I know with the studies I've been looking at recently, there's also genetic backgrounds for why some people might be more prone to skin trouble. So you can have a faulty gene that makes your skin more sensitive to this. And the other, for me, it's been basically eliminating what I'm allergic to, and getting that out of my diet has helped my skin. So I've seen in person that eczema comes from the inside, and I believe it comes from the gut. In my experience, is that when I address stuff in the gut, my skin becomes better. And it's a lot of work. I understand that it might not be for everyone to go and eliminate stuff from your diet, or at least not go through it alone, you know, because as you said, when you start out, you don't know where to look, you don't know where to start. And this is the part of why I wanted to start my group and my account, because I realized that I'm at a different place now, and there might be people starting out, they don't know that dairy can cause trouble, you know, they don't know that gluten can cause trouble with the skin, because how would you? Because you think the skin is just on its own, and then the gut is on its own and everything. So this is very, very interesting. And I remember we also talked a little bit about the different eczemas that mm-hmm. exist, because there are different ones. And there is also something called topical steroid withdrawal that people have gone through that is also rarely talked about, but it's a very serious condition that happens when you stop using the steroid cream. And so people that have maybe used the cream for a long time, when they stop, they get a scaly skin. They get a super, like, really bad reaction where the skin flakes off. So it's possible to Google TSW, and you'll see pictures of the people that have gone through that. I've been lucky to not use steroid creams that much to the point where I could get withdrawal symptoms like that. But I know that it exists, and there are people trying to alert, or maybe not alert, but at least inform the public about the possibility of that happening. And so that is also why I think it's better with diet changes and mineral supplementation and all this stuff that is a more natural approach. So you don't have to have the steroid cream suppressing your symptoms, because your body is actually trying to tell you something and you're not listening. You're just putting the cream on and then like, shut up, I don't want to listen to this, you know. And in the end, I think it's better to address the root cause and not just put some Band-Aid on and hope it's going to be fine, because then the next time it might be a stronger symptom that comes to surface.
Wow. And especially for people who have used steroid creams for a long time, make that shift and not know that yeah. that is a possible reaction could be really scary.
Yes, yes, it definitely is. I saw it, and I also had, my daughter had a reaction to antibiotics.
Oh my. Once.
And that is a seborrheic eczema. It comes in your eyebrows and on your scalp. Like, her whole scalp was full of scaly, itchy eczema. And so she had to stop taking that antibiotic and then change to another one. So that is one type of eczema that is, it can be caused by antibiotics, but it can also, I think it might be a fungal eczema in the root cause of it. And there is the atopic eczema that I have, and that's the most common one, where you see it related to food allergies. There is contact eczema, where you can get reaction to your rings or metals. Also, people get, you know, from the earrings, pierced ears, you can get eczema there. And we have the psoriasis, even if it's not categorized as an eczema, it's categorized as an autoimmune disease. But it is a lot like eczema, where it's itching and the skin becomes scaly. And I believe that to be caused by the gut permeability, gut issues, leaky gut, IBS. And they're actually looking at that. So there's research coming out now around the the gut and the skin connection. And that makes me happy that they're finally looking at the possibility of there being some connection, because we might be crazy to think that the body is just separate areas of, it's all connected, right?
Yes.
In medicine, they often tend to look at one place and then the other place and then the other place, and they don't see a connection between the whole body, which is,
Right. And the more we've specialized, there's some advantages to specializing. And one of the disadvantages, you're right, is when they don't communicate with each other and recognize that what happens in one system of the body impacts other systems. And one of my backgrounds is in biology. And so I'm notorious at my doctor. She's wonderful. But I will ask those questions because of my understanding about the human body. So not everyone, you're right, has that and recognizes that what's happening on my skin could be a release of toxins somewhere else in my body. And rather than trying to cover it up, which what a lot of prescription medications do is mask symptoms so we don't see them or feel them, but the root cause is still there. And it will find another way to express itself. So realizing that eczema, psoriasis, those skin disorders have nothing to do with whether you are clean or not, because a lot of times people think, well, if you just washed more. If there were any other organic treatments or approaches you'd used in addition to the magnesium baths for your outbreaks.
I found that also probiotics can make a difference in supporting the gut and that trying to fix the gut lining. And it could be beneficial to try that to see if you can repair some of the gut lining that might be, what do you call it? Yeah, leaking or compromised in some ways. And now I have gone down a rabbit hole of looking at a bacteria called H. pylori, which can inhabit the gut, and it can be the cause of, normally it will cause reflux and stomach ulcers, and that's what the medicine is normally tying it to, those two things. But it seems it can also just exist in your gut and lower your stomach acid to the point where you cannot properly digest your foods. And then there are like proteins that are too big that will pass down in the intestines. They will feed the bacteria that you don't want to feed. They will cause reactions, you know, food-wise, or they can leak through your gut and trigger the immune system. So this is very interesting, and I've ordered a test for myself, so a stool test. I was on the phone also with a practitioner that does a whole panel of stuff, but that was $1,100, so I cannot do that right now. But I might do it later if I find out that I have H. pylori. She was also talking about my mast cells, that they are not reacting in a way that they should be reacting. So that's also something that I will research a little bit more about. And I was actually thinking of asking in the HBR group if we know anyone that is a functional practitioner or a nutritional, a clinical nutrition maybe, that is doing these kinds of tests. Because the GI mapping will tell you what is going on in your gut. Is there dysbiosis in your bacteria that inhabits there? You know, it will give you a much better view of what is actually going on. But then it is the journey after. How are you going to fix it, you know? And this is, interesting. I think also with reintroducing foods back in and maybe eating different foods that are good for your bacteria in the gut, and there are different ways of doing this, but it's definitely something interesting that I'm glad that someone is actually doing this now. Because back when I started having issues, you know, it's 16 years ago, there was no help for that. And no one would look at the gut and they're like, oh, the gut, no, that's it. Yeah, and now lately they have been writing books about the gut-brain connection and the gut-skin, like everything is connected. So it's very good that we are starting to finally look at this. And that there might be a bacteria in your gut that is causing you your gluten intolerance, it's causing your histamine intolerance. Like if you get rid of this bacteria, maybe you will not have the symptoms. So this is very exciting. So I will keep everyone updated on how it goes for me, if I'm positive and negative, and what kind of things I will implement if I have H. pylori to try to get rid of it and see what happens after that. So this is, something new for me as well.
Well, and GI mapping is a term that most people haven't heard, which is gastrointestinal mapping and figuring out what's actually there, what's going on inside. Again, not just treating the ulcers or the reflux symptom, but actually looking at what's causing it. And you're right, it is an exciting time for research. And most people, again, won't know that, because they go to the doctor with the symptoms, are diagnosed with eczema and given a cream to treat it. So when we can take that more active role or have someone we can go to that can give us questions to ask or the places to go to learn more, it's helpful because, yes, doctors are busy. And in the United States, you have to have referrals to specialists and it becomes complicated. And so if there are ways that we can be connected to cutting edge information and know that there are functional nutritionists who are looking at what's happening in that biome that we see on commercials about probiotics being good for you. And I know when my son would get sick, my husband knew he was going to be next. They were interestingly tied together. Even though my son's adopted, it was pretty predictable. So if my son had bronchitis or if he was getting a flu, the doctor told my husband to eat yogurt because that would help stave off that infection for him that my son was likely to pass to him. And it worked pretty much every time. My son would get sick, he'd start eating yogurt for a few days, and he would manage to stay healthy. So there are all sorts of things that we don't know. It's not public information unless, like you, you have the passion to learn more, to read more, to dive into the information. And so it's very helpful when people like you who have a passion for something, for me, it's the brain and the mind and taking neuroscience and translating it into practical applications so people can benefit. For you, it's being able to look at what's going on with the research around eczema and treatment, not for just the flares that you have on your skin, but what's going on inside your body so that you can be healthier and avoid the toxicity that's actually causing those outbreaks. If people want to connect with you, Siri, you mentioned your Instagram, which the link will be in the show notes for people to learn more there. If they have questions or want to connect with you about your private group, the best email to reach you is with.siri@aol.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. I encourage my listeners, if you are here and you or someone you love has been struggling with eczema and you're looking for getting at the cause of it and looking at organic and natural treatments beyond a steroid cream, that the work that Siri has invested years in for her own health and the health of her daughter, and to share with others because she's done the hard work. And so now can share that with you so you don't have to go through it alone, don't have to struggle on your own. So you can be part of a community of people who understand because they've had a similar experience. And to be able to feel that support and connection is really powerful. So I invite you to connect with Siri to learn more, to connect with that community. So you went through struggles when you were initially diagnosed as a child, and we know change can be uncomfortable, changing in diet, changing in routine. What are some tips that you would offer to people as they are dealing with, maybe they're just newly diagnosed with eczema, and how did you cope with the change, and how would you encourage people to make the changes that they need?
Well, I think sometimes you need to become so uncomfortable in the situation you're in that there's really no alternative. And that happened for me. So the first time was with the dairy intolerance, that I didn't know that was causing my stomach aches every night. But of course, when you finally cave and you say, okay, I'll do the changes, I just have to do something, you know, I need to make changes because I need to feel better. When you do the changes and you start feeling better, that makes it all worth your while. So my tip to people is just start somewhere and listen to your body. So if you decide to cut gluten, for example, I have free gluten-free challenge in my bio, in my Instagram account. That is 2 weeks of recipes, gluten-free, and they can also be made dairy-free. It's all made, it's pre-made, so it's made easy for anyone that wants to try gluten-free for 2 weeks to see how they feel after. And yeah, people just have to start somewhere. And when they feel the change in their bodies, they're going to be like, okay, this is it. Of course, I'm going to continue because now I have better energy. I sleep better. My stomach is working. Like, everything is better. And that makes it work what you have to cut. And nowadays, there's so much gluten-free foods that you can use instead of, you know, traditional spaghetti. You can get the gluten-free spaghetti. You can get gluten-free bread. And you can get gluten-free cookies. It's not like when I started out where I felt like I didn't have any foods left to eat.
Yeah.
And, it just takes, you know, the switching of away from the track you're on, because we as humans, we love repetition. We want to be always doing the same thing that we always did. It's so much easier, you know, we don't like change so much. So it's just hard to think about what other things are out there to eat when you're used to having the bread and you're having the sandwich. Now all of a sudden you need to figure out what should you have instead. But there really are alternatives, and you just have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and switch, and then you'll make new routines or new, yeah, it becomes natural after a while again.
Yeah, it's awesome that you've got 2 weeks of gluten-free recipes that they listeners can find on your Instagram, because that saves the search process of trying to find it. So my husband, I think he's been struggling lately with extra bloating, and he has what's been diagnosed as psoriatic arthritis. And so I think we're going to take a look. So thank you for mentioning that and making that available. As we bring our interview to a close, we've talked about how our listeners can connect with you for more. What are two or three most important ideas you would want my listeners to take away from our interview today?
Well, I want your listeners to connect more to nature. I know for me that is a big thing that calms my nervous system. I try to walk barefoot. I try to get some sun on my skin and my eyes in the morning every day, if possible, because this is supporting our bodies more than we know. And I also would encourage everyone to go for the things that they want in their lives, not to postpone or wait, because we never know how long we've got. So it's very important to, do the things that you want and go for the things that you have always thought about that you want to do. Don't postpone it. And the third one, I would say try gluten-free. Have a better health and easier life without gluten. And it's also, it's not always just about the gluten. It's also about the glyphosate that they are spraying on a lot of foods now. But on the grains, they are spraying it before they are, taking the
harvesting.
Harvesting, yeah. And so there is actually a lot of glyphosate in there that they don't have to declare because now they're harvested. So, they're, yeah. And glyphosate plus gluten is a very bad deal for your intestines. And actually, it upregulates the gene for permeability 7 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I also think that there is some connection there with when they started using glyphosate on a big scale. Because we see also adults struggle with gluten nowadays and gluten allergies. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like if my parents have been eating bread their whole life, why would they all of a sudden have problems? Of course, there are way more gluten because of the gene, you know, like genetically modified, or they're adding extra gluten to bread now. So this is also a factor, but the glyphosate, it would be interesting to see the year when they started to implement it on a big scale and how much gluten intolerance were coming from that, because, it's something to think about.
It is something to think about, because my husband is in his 60s and is just now struggling with concerns with gluten. So, Sherry, thank you so much for being with us, for sharing your journey, your experience, your passion for helping people find natural relief for their eczema and getting to the root cause of their eczema and their food allergies. I'm very grateful for the time that you spent with us and the information that you've shared. And I hope as you continue to make new connections and discover new research that you'll come back and do another interview with me.
Oh, I would love to do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for my listeners, I challenge you to take a spark of something that you heard here today to ignite a positive change in your life. And to learn more about the courses that I have to offer, because my new one coming up is called Transform Your Stress, also known as Be the Zebra. And as Siri mentioned, stress can impact eczema, as it does many things in our lives. So you can learn more at mindmagicacademy.com and connect with Siri on her Instagram or email her directly. So until next time, stay safe, and may you choose to make a positive difference in the lives you touch, as only you can. I am excited that you have chosen to invest your value.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change.